This is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and today I'm with the current council leader, Adam McVeigh, and also, Adam, you are the leader of the SNP group on council. You have been running the city for the last 5 years, and now you're going to be launching today the manifesto for this year's election. So is it going to be more of the same?
It's going to be a lot of change. The people of Edinburgh really deserve a council that works for them, that puts them at the heart, tackles the big issues that we need to, reduces poverty, helps people to take advantage of the opportunities in our city, fights climate change, improves our core services. But at the absolute heart, the city is the best city in the world. And we think that, and we've thought that since, you know, forever. But we need to make it better. And that's going to require change. And we offer that change. We offer one of the, I think, the boldest, most ambitious manifestos, but also one of the best set out. If you look at some of the specific actions that we've got in specific areas of council services, I think we're laying out our plans very clearly for the people of Edinburgh.
Give me a quick run through. We don't want to go through everything because we won't have time. But, you know, if you give me just a snapshot of actual, real things that you're planning to do.
So we want to initiate a new Green Deal to help people in the climate change transition, help insulate homes, try and make sure that people can have access to the finance they need to make that stack up, particularly in the context of a Tory cost of living crisis and skyrocketing energy bills. This is not only an environmental concern, it's an economic concern for people right here and now.
What can the council really do? I mean, you can't do anything about the cost of energy. That is out with your control, I believe. So what can you do? Retrofit homes, make them warmer, what kind of thing?
Exactly. The model we followed in the Moray Burn is a great one that we need to roll out across the city. These are private homes where council has some ownership, but actually it works as a model right across the city, and we need to roll it out and expand it. But also, the council needs to facilitate more of the production of energy within our city. District heating is the future for many homes in our city, and we need to accelerate that programme as quickly as we can. This will all be tied into a new Green Deal that we hope to bring both UK and Scottish governments and industry around the table to make sure we've got the actions financed and set out as clearly as we can to get that transition, that fair transition towards net zero by 2030.
And that doesn't seem much, so come on, and.
So there's a huge amount that we're doing in housing. So our proposals have a rent cap as one of the central points, but this is about affordability of homes within the city.
What's a rent cap? Tell me what a rent cap is. Is that a cap on rent that you're going to charge as the council, or is it a cap on
private sector. So what we've seen is people being literally priced out of their homes in Edinburgh, and it means that they end up presenting as homeless in many cases, and we've had to deal with a huge amount of issues with that. But it also is about fundamental fairness. These are people's homes that they're paying a fair rent for, and we need to protect them in that position. But it's not just about the private sector rents, which we're looking to control and properly insert fairness to. It's about all those conditions. So we need to build the affordable homes and the new council homes that are so desperately needed in the city. We're promising the biggest expansion of council homes that we've seen in generations. There'll be a £2 billion programme to build new council homes, as well as an £850 million programme to invest in the council homes we have just now, so that they are properly energy efficient, so they are tackling issues like dampness and improving the condition of the homes that we have already built. So our proposals are absolutely holistic. It's not just about building homes, it's not just about controlling the private sector rent, it's about also bringing those properties that move from the residential market into short-term lets back into being homes for residents.
And that's not just a council matter, though. I mean, you've talked about already a Green Deal, which involves lots of other people, and something like a rent cap, that's going to need some sort of government intervention, is it not?
Well, that's already in the government programme. So we're quite confident that will be delivered at government level to enable us to do that. But look, we have a track record of delivering the things that we need from other government. We made sure that the tourist tax was in the government programme. They've done that. We've made sure that law was changed at a national level to enable us to take the action we needed to on short-term lets. We've delivered a city deal for our city already, and the Green Deal builds on that. So we have a track record of delivery in the last 5 years that we're looking to build on and expand on to get the right solutions for the people of Edinburgh.
And give me something else then, apart from housing and energy, what about transport in the city?
Transport's absolutely essential, not only in terms of how we make sure people can get around the city as quickly and effectively as possible, but also how we can make sure that we are meaningfully tackling climate change. We cannot get to net zero on any year unless we make substantial progress in transport. So two tram extensions are key to that plan, extending to the north and the south, building on that network, tackling congestion with a congestion charge applied to people outside the city, so no Edinburgh residents going to pay this at peak times only, so that we have an ability to move free around the city when we've got that real pressure. These actions are all to try and build the right solutions to encourage people to walk, cycle, use public transport, and the crucial investment that we will need regionally to invest, use that commuter charging income to invest in some of the solutions that people across the region need to improve public transport. I want to see more people using Lothian buses coming in from the Lothians and other areas, and less people using private car, and that will make it easier for residents in Edinburgh getting around and also benefiting from that enhanced public transport offer.
To go back to the tram extension, is the legislation already in place just for you to start planning these extensions now? Or will it just take years and years and years?
So we're going to spend the next 5 years building a really solid business case. That's not only about...
So that's just a plan. That's not an actual rails on the ground.
No, we will not rails on the ground in the next 5 years, but there will be action in the next 5 years. There'll certainly be shovels in the ground in the next 5 years.
But is the Scottish Government legislation in place for the tram extension, or do you need to go back to the government?
So we may need additional legislation to enable the tram in the same terms as the previous extension, but it's worth saying it's already in the strategic transport priority for the region in terms of these tram extensions, so it's already been identified as a regional and national priority within that plan. So we do have a partner to take us forward in that. There have already, of course, been discussions with Transport Scotland. We'll continue those because it's really important that, just as we did with this tram extension to New Haven, we get a business case that stacks up and can be delivered with confidence on time.
The Conservative leader told me that the passenger numbers for the tram extension don't add up. So, and of course, that's yet to be seen, but on the figures that you are predicting, do you think it still adds up?
Absolutely. There's still a huge case. Everyone in Leith can see the development of the new whiskey distillery, the film studio, a huge amount of exciting plans going into the area, and it's hugely important to provide that high-capacity public transport system. We know the Conservatives are trying to hoodwink everyone. We know they're trying to just pretend that investment in public transport isn't needed, that investment in active travel isn't needed. And frankly, they're telling everyone, on the one hand, congestion's a nightmare in the city, but offering nothing to tackle it. So we have the solutions, we have the investment strategy, we have the priorities right for the people of Edinburgh to help people genuinely move around our city easier, quicker, and more sustainably. And that's not just in terms of public transport and active travel. It will make it easier for people driving when they have to as well.
Active travel, of course, means walking, wheeling, cycling, people on mobility scooters, any of those things. And are you going to preserve your ring-fenced part of the budget for active travel?
Absolutely. We will ring-fence the transport budget as part of active travel, but we'll also go much, much further. We've managed to secure a massive scale of investment for permanent high quality infrastructure, which will make a big difference to walking, wheeling and cycling right across the city.
But that's whereabouts, for example?
Well, that will help deliver projects like the Meadows to George Street link. These are all about linking up the good infrastructure that's going in and the off-road paths that have been so successful right across the city. So it's really important now, as we take another step forward, that these great schemes and protected schemes are linked together so that we have everybody being able to use them safely and effectively and encourage far more people to use them with confidence. But this is all, of course, on top of our big pledge on £120 million in road and pavement investment in the next 5 years. That'll go further than we've went in the last 5 years, where we've seen some progress, but I would say not enough. We need to go further because all road users will at some point use our roads. So we have to continue to invest, and we've got the right strategy to do it. Again, one of the most exciting bits in our manifesto in this space is not just the big pledge in terms of pounds and pence that are desperately needed. So it's not just about that big £120 million investment in our roads. We've also got a commitment to look at a new way of delivering. So if you look at Tayside Contracts, that's pulled together a whole bunch of local authorities, Angus, Perth, Kinross, Dundee, in how they deliver road repairs. It's publicly owned, it's efficient and effective. So we're looking at not only how much money we put in, but how are we spending that money to get it to the use of maximum impact.
And how are you going to fix the potholes? Because anybody in the city is going to tell you that, you know, any street they walk on is full of potholes. I mean, I know it, you know it, and I know you're saying that the roads have improved over the last 5 years, but from an outsider's point of view, it doesn't really look like that, Adam. So, you know, what are you actually, how are you going to do that? Are you going to take the utility providers and give them a good talking to, or how are you going to do it?
Well, we're always willing to give the utility providers a good talking to, if only they would listen to what we have to say, and if only the Roads Commissioner had a bit more teeth that would hold people to the commitments that people rightly expect them to. We're going to do this by investing where it's needed. I totally accept that people are saying they're not feeling yet on the ground that change. There has been a little bit of improvement in the last 5 years, but I would accept not enough. So we need to go further, and we're going further not only in investing the right level to make progress on the road condition that we have as a city, but also looking at how we're spending that money. And I think looking and exploring that Tayside Contracts model, maintaining public ownership, maximising the efficiency of delivery of that money, I think is a really strong way that the city can respond and make the kind of inroads that will mean people will feel that change on the ground within their community.
How many pages does your manifesto have?
There's 36 pages.
That's quite long, actually, in comparison with others. But some of those are just nice pictures, are they?
some are images, but our manifesto is longer than the other parties. There's no getting away from that. And that's because we've spent 5 years building the experience in administration. We have a fantastic team who have come with new ideas who can take this city forward. We absolutely make no apology for having the biggest, boldest, most robust plans of any party for the city. If you take an area which will fill up most councillors' inboxes at various points on waste collection, we are, I think, the only party pledging a specific uplift in investment in those services. All the other parties are talking about taking money out of these services by removing fairly small charges on things like garden waste. We're looking to invest an additional 10 million over the course of this administration, improving services, because while I appreciate some of these minor, you know, small charges are a bit annoying, actually what the service needs is more money, and we've got a plan to deliver it. It will make significant changes, and I think make our streets right across the board cleaner and greener as we make sure our waste services can cope.
It's all very good, but you will need to be in coalition or in an agreement with someone or another, some other party or another, because none of the political parties in Edinburgh actually field enough candidates to get a majority. Why is that?
Well, I would say Edinburgh's a more diverse and exciting city than maybe some others. Look, Edinburgh is a city which has a plethora of views, and all the parties need to listen to what the voters tell them. And if the voters vote for a progressive group of parties that have a programme that can work together on, then it's an obligation on us as parties to do that and respond. The city needs a clear direction forward. The next 5 years are going to be absolutely crucial in delivering not just against our climate change aims and objectives, but in terms of poverty reduction. We are seeing thousands of children in this city deliberately being pushed into poverty by the Tory government, and the SNP government and Holyrood is doing all it can to try and mitigate and combat that. We will do in the City Council everything we can as well to try and combat that callous approach by the Tories right across the board. But if this city loses that opportunity to act, I think there will be an enormous amount more poverty, an enormous amount more misery in the city, and we will fail drastically in tackling the climate change, and we'll be consigning generations to a future of climate catastrophe.
I'm always amazed, I think, by your enthusiasm, and it seems that even now at the end of 5 years that you're quite enthusiastic and would be willing to still be the leader of the City Council moving forward. Is that the case?
Absolutely. This is the best city in the world, and you know, I think I have the best job in the world in trying to sort out the problems that we have and try and meet our city's aspirations. And I think we are the only party that's really speaking to both. We recognise there are problems in Edinburgh that we need to lean into and solve, and our manifesto gives us a prospectus to do that. But we're also, I think, the only party really reaching for the ambition that Edinburgh needs to have. We are the capital city of Scotland. We are a leading international centre of finance, of innovation, of digital technologies, of new emerging technologies and health informatics and a huge number of other things. We should be ambitious. We should not be small-minded and close-minded to the big solutions that we need to embrace and drive forward, because it's not just about Edinburgh. We are sharing solutions with the world right now. When COVID hit, it was businesses, organisations and institutions in Edinburgh that was leading some of that research to try and combat this virus. We are a leading city of the world, and it's an obligation on us, I think, to continue to lead.
Well, we will see what the voters think of your manifesto on the 6th of May, which is the
day.
Well, the 6th of May is when the results will be coming out. After they voted on the 5th of May, and you'll be hoping that they're voting for you in, and I never remember if it's the Leith or the Leith ward, so you'll have to tell us.
I'm Leith. I'm Leith and two fantastic colleagues, and Rob Munn and Amy McSmeekin in Leith Walk, that obviously I'm very much hopeful are returned as well.
And you are the only SNP candidate standing in Leith.
In Leith, I am.
Okay. I wish you well on the 5th and the 6th of May then, Adam.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Edinburgh Report. Listen out for more episodes coming soon, and make sure you don't miss any by hitting the subscribe button now. This is one of the platforms where we can help advertise your business to our listeners. Would you like to know more about that? Then email editor@theedinburghreporter.co.uk. And remember, you can subscribe to have our monthly newspaper delivered to you direct. Sign up today on our website, www.theedinburghreporter.co.uk.